This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings at the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 762 for property ID 82990498. The property is owned by Lisa Ann Ballard and John Allen Lothar IV. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have John Lothar present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. And I'm actually glad I took this appeal for one first key reason. So I'll just have a few points. I think we'll be able to wrap up within the 15 minutes and probably shorter than that. Number one, when I filed my petition, I believe the total market value number self-populated. And as I see here, the TMV is $704,348. Yet in my assessor's notice of fair market value, it says $772,000. And I believe, again, in the petition, that number is self-populated. So I think one of the reasons I'm happy to be here is just so that I know really what the true market value for my property will be. So, again, I have two different numbers. I believe this one in the petition is self-populated. I know where the discrepancy came from. It's for this building and improvements number, and I don't know where that number came from. That is to say, I don't think I put it in there. I think this is done for me. By the way, I'm not talking too fast for anyone, am I?
No.
Okay. So that would be step one. Step two, another reason I have filed a number of these over the years is, now, by the way, I have nothing from the assessor. If you would permit me one question, I don't know if the assessor responded to my petition or not. Do you have anything from the assessor, if you don't mind my asking?
We have nothing.
Okay. So then I will continue. What I've seen from the assessor in the past is when pricing the properties, and I would see their response, it would have something called a new value or some bumped up value. In other words, here's a fair market value property, but I'm going to go ahead and put on an additor. And I always objected to that. I didn't think that comported with Washington law, which said it should be based on a true fair market value. So that is why I also, in the past and today, typically appealed. I simply never thought the assessor's value complied with Washington law. So actually, I think I can wrap up fairly quickly. I will say for my petition, frankly, my proposed value was a bit aggressive. So to the extent that my testimony here today can serve as an addendum to my position, or perhaps even a revision of my position. And if I may be so bold as to make a suggestion, and this is how I think we can wrap things up fairly quickly, just if you don't have it in front of you, my proposed TMV was $584,164. Again, conceding that that number is aggressive, here's my position today, and perhaps to speed your work, what I would say is, in my petition, I submitted a comparable property sales worksheet. Do you mind my asking if you have that?
We do have that.
Okay. So let me just briefly address my two comparables. Property number one, sale number one, that house is 45 seconds this way. It's about 10 houses down. And, property sold for $800,000 on May 27, 2022. And at that price, it was that is a significantly larger house at 3,300 square feet. And when you look at the per square foot value, it's $242. And then my second comparable is a property about a quarter mile just this way. I think a pro golfer could probably hit it with a good driver off the tee. And again, that was a much larger house. And that one sold for $740,000 on November 1 of 22. And yet that is 3,330 square feet. So my point in these two comparables is my house is definitely smaller than these, and yet Comp 2 actually sold for less than the TMV I was sent on September 29, 2022 for $772,000. And so the second comparable puts us at approximately $222 per square foot. And I would just submit, and I think my position is, you know, using those two comparables and a per square foot value for those two comparables, again, you know, recent sales within the time frame right here, similar views, larger properties, but similar views right in the neighborhood. We were on a phone. I could walk you there in about 40 seconds. So anywhere a value of $242 per square foot to, I think I said, 200 in one moment, if you just bear with me. $222 per square foot. Really, actually, that's about all I have, so I'll just summarize my points. Number one, I never liked the assessor using, you know, this editor, this bump up on his assessed values to try and get the values higher. And number two, seeing that the assessor has produced nothing. By the way, I should ask, gee, am I entitled to a default? Can I get my $584,000 because the assessor didn't respond? But that's okay. I won't take that position. And finally, to sum, I've done these a number of times. I'm not going to appeal. I never have. Unless you conclude that it should be more than what's in this petition of $702,000. I might not lock that result. But other than that, I'll be happy with whatever you decide. I've given you my opinion to perhaps use my two fair and true comparables as a baseline for your work. And then I'm just about done. I finally like to say your work is important. I travel throughout the country, and I know that this avenue isn't even available to many property holders in some states. And, well, if you've ever been to Nassau County, Long Island, you got some very happy people. You've seen the taxes up there. So with that, I have nothing further, and to the extent you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them, but really I don't think I have much more to add other than that, and thank you again. I think your work is important, and I'll be happy with whatever you decide.
I don't have any questions. I think you covered it all.
No questions here. Thanks.
No, I have no questions.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 764 for property ID 13306100. The property is owned by Michael A. Boyle. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Michael Boyle present over the phone for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but no worries. Go ahead and raise your right hand anyway, and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing would be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Have you not looked at the packet that I dropped?
We have.
So basically, and the notices I've received since have told me I can't add anything to that, so there's really not much more to add other than the fact that there are no public utilities in the area within reach of me. There's no sewer. There's no water. Neighboring properties on either side have residences on them. There's a piece that comes up below mine. It's a steep hillside from the bottom edge, the southern edge of my property that drops down into what is going to be a development into a neighborhood. But it has no access to me. So basically, I'm just saying it's a piece of bare land. It's not currently zoned to a point where someone could divide it or subdivide it, and therefore, I don't believe the assessment is fair.
I noticed you had a competitive market analysis done, and she came back with a value of $460,000 with a range of $430,000 to $480,000. And you asked for $357,000 in your appeal.
I set that up based on, I've always, anytime we've had a market analysis done on a property that we've owned, it's always been above the assessed tax value. And I actually put that in place based on the amount that my other two properties had gone up with the same equal amount from the year prior.
Okay.
And you say, Michelle, can you pull up a map of that area?
Yeah, one moment.
So you're saying there's no utilities in place. It looks like that you're within the city limits. You're the last parcel in the city. And then it does have you as a zoning of R175. So at this time, you could subdivide it. That's probably where they're valuing it as prime developable land. But there's no utilities on your street yet?
No.
Now, where's the, if you look at this map that's there, where's, you said they're doing some development below you, or?
If you see the bottom, the southern line of my property, the piece that drops off directly below it, there's a steep hillside that drops down into there. It's probably a good, at least 100-foot drop. Elevation, and the subdivision actually ends and is leaving that as a greenway.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be able to. So they're building on the southern half of that parcel.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've seen them building out there, but yeah, you couldn't get utilities through there. So coming down W Street, there's utilities are to the west, so they haven't extended utilities down there yet.
No.
And there's nothing in the road above you, which is the edge of the city limits, I guess.
No, that is W Street, which would be the northern part.
Okay. I've got enough information.
Yep, so do I.
Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 760 for property ID 213-255-000. The property is owned by James E. McMakin. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have James McMakin present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, great. Thank you. Please bear with my little raspy voice. After over 3 years, I got diagnosed with COVID, unfortunately, over the Memorial Day weekend travel. So I guess I've been fortunate for over 3 years, but I guess it's just a matter of time. So anyway, I'm feeling a little bit better, but I do appreciate being able to do this on WebEx because I'm still able to do this hearing, which is great. So thank you. Appreciate your time. And again, this will be my first appeal was back in 2017. So I think for the last 7 or 8 years, we've, you know, routinely been meeting. So you're probably familiar with this particular property. I think that, you know, the painful reality is for everybody, and that the, you know, property values have substantially increased by all means, and there's just no doubt about that. And matter of fact, in the Ridgefield locality, really over the last 2 years, we're looking at 25%, you know, which is, you know, pretty astonishing, but it's just the reality of the market this day and age. And looking at my new assessed value from last year's appeal, I think that it still doesn't indicate its market value, and I think it's not being considered the prior year's appeals, and the reductions have always seemed to be added back into the formula when they're doing their kind of their methodology to determine the market value of this property. So I came up with some comparables, and I recognize that assessed values are not considered by the board, and I understand that. And I do put this on the matrix only for the point of showing the percentage increases. And it looks to me that around 15% seemed to be the prevailing rate, which is consistent with on my attachment showing the market trends in the Ridgefield area, which comes to around that same 15%. Excuse me. So mine was brought back up to about 18.5%, and I do believe from doing my research on the comparables in the area that it seems to be over-assessed if you're using the actual market values of about, you know, a little less than $30,000. Again, it's roughly 3%. And again, with having an increase of well over $125,000, although $30,000 doesn't seem to be significant, I would still like to get this property in at the market value to have a reasonable reflection on the assessed value for property tax purposes. The best comparable I was able to come up with, and I recently had gone over to comparable number two, which happens to only be about a mile and a half or so from my property, and using this as my comparable, I felt that this property that had sold back in August 31st, 2021, so very close to the assessment year starting on January 1, 2022, that was sold for $860,000. This property is very, very comparable as far as zoning, the construction grade, number of stories, the fact that there is an outbuilding, a detached garage, and also the land, even though this is slightly less in acreage, it is all usable acreage, and it's flat, and it's been cleared basically, and so all 3.31 acres is all usable, as opposed to my property that is a lot of wetlands and hilly terrain, and with easements for my neighbors. So Land values, I've really never disputed. I think it's right in line, my property value. Land value, I think, is a reflection of its market value. The building values, I think, are the question. And the way I work my numbers using comparable number two, excuse me, is the fact this property has less square footage. So that is a reflection on that. Although this property has additional outbuildings and an outdoor riding arena, and it looks like a small barn for horses. And again, it's completely fenced and landscaped. So in working the numbers based on my narrative, I felt that that using this property, that my increase from the adjustments to the comparable number two would be based on the additional square footage of my house, with all other areas seem to be relatively equal. So therefore, I came up with a figure in an assessment of $956,933, as opposed to the county's assessment of $986,275, which I think is a very conservative yet reasonable, and I think it's supported by the comparables and also by the market trends in Ridgefield to reflect the adequate value, the true and fair market value of this petitioner's property, which would be at 28700 Northwest 55th Avenue. I think that's all I have to say. Again, I've had additional comparables there as well, and most of these properties, again, are all on, they're all the same zoning, all on acreage, mostly anywhere from 3 to nearly 7 acres. Most of them have outbuildings as well, and again, particularly comparable number two, I think is a good reflection of the market value, having been a recent sale at $860,000.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
Can you tell me a little bit about that space, that 1,300 square feet over your garage? Is that an ADU? Is that have a bathroom, a kitchen, or what is that?
Oh, upstairs. In my outbuilding.
Correct.
Yes, it is. It's a recreation room, and there is a bathroom up there. And there is no kitchen. It's not zoned for a residential, but my kids do use that for. There's a ping pong table. There is a bathroom, but there's no kitchen or any plumbing for like washer dryers, etc. It's more of a place for the kids to hang out and have slumber parties and that kind of thing too. My friends have stayed over there. There is a room for a bedroom as well up there in that loft as well.
So does your bathroom count 3 bathrooms? Does that include that, or do you have, is that 3 bathrooms inside the home?
There's 3 bathrooms inside the home.
Okay.
So that would be an additional bathroom.
Okay.
And there is a toilet downstairs as well, in the shop as well, where there's a wash, a laundry tub, I guess. Yeah, would be the proper term.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me just ask a question about it. If I look at the schedule, right, maybe I'm not reading it correctly, but you have your home at 331 a square foot, and that comp two is at 347 a square foot.
Yes.
If I multiply that times your square footage, I get over $1 million. You said all being equal that it produces a lower value. How do we get there?
Well, I think the square footage that I've come up with is considering everything. It's not, in other words, I didn't really, it's basically a range. I don't really, the fact that there are additional buildings. So we're looking at the square footage. all of it comes into place. In other words, my calculation is based on the entire value of the entire property. That would be including the acreage and all the outbuildings as well. So the fact that this house, this particular house here, has smaller square footage, I guess the ratio, the percentage per square foot would be higher based on that. I don't even know if it's even a valuable figure to even use, and perhaps maybe to avoid confusion if I should even be putting in that in there in the future.
I also, on comp 2, I trended it to 1-1 of 22, and I came up with a value of $920,200, and then divided that by the 2,288 square feet of the house, and it comes up to $400 a square foot. If you trend it per time to the assessment date of 1 of 22. And your home was only assessed at $330 a square foot. The other, I didn't use your comp 1 or 3 because they were sales from 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And your sale number 4 was well past the assessment date. I still used it, and it came in at about $391 a square foot. I didn't trend it for the last 2 months because it was so close to 1 of 22. But I don't have any further questions. I just had that clarification.
Okay.
I don't have any questions. Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 759 for property ID 829-90480. The property is owned by John Meter and Debbie Meter. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have John Meter present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I appreciate that. It shouldn't take too long. Did all of you folks get all my materials and have a chance to take a look at them?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to walk through it real quick, and it shouldn't take too long. We built this house in 1989. We've been living in it since 1990, and so we're the original owners to the home. At that time, when we built it, the big thing, as you know, were the EIFS stucco, the EIFS stucco, and now they've found that's not the best thing to put on the house. But that's what we did at the time, and that was, like I said, that was a big deal. In this subdivision, we only had two choices of roof. We could either have tile or shake roof. Asphalt shingles were not an option in the CC&Rs, and so we opted for the tile. Then we haven't done any major upgrades or remodeling in anything, you know, in that entire period of time. So the house is actually 34 years old. We had a couple of kids grown and gone. We're older now and retired. So the house has got much wear. And we received the assessment from the assessor's office. We don't agree to the same because... although there are other houses, you know, that are like in size and that, all the comps that we tried to get were much newer And so I wasn't able to get anything of exact like kind and everything. So I had a market analysis, certified market analysis done by Remax, and you'll see it there in the information. And the broker there, Brenda Wilson, she came up with her independent assessment on the CMA of 941,000, well, almost 942,000. And to be honest, it seems a little low to us. You know, we actually came up with our estimate is 1,041,000, which is $100,000 more than what she did. But, you know, I'm just being honest that I think it was a little low, but you know, not a lot low. So we think ours is, our home right now is worth probably, you know, about $1 million, maybe just a little bit more. And, you know, from reasonable comps, but mainly it's the state of repair of the home and what it's going to take to get it where it needs to be. For example, there's a house down the street here that, you know, some friends of ours just bought from a gentleman that passed away, a good friend of ours. It also had eaves and a tile roof, and they're going to be into it over $1 million over this last year before they get it where they want it to be. They got a lot of remodeling. The house was just greatly deteriorated. I'm not saying our house is as bad as that one, but it's extremely expensive to take off eaves all the way around the whole house, and ours is a little larger than even that one, and take off the tile and that. So, you know, taking one thing at a time here, first of all, on the roof, it is a tile roof. It's the spec tile, and it's greatly deteriorated. It needs to be replaced. Got a previous estimate for replacement from Clark County Roofing. His name is Bill something Hadley. No, that's the actor, sorry. Bill, and he gave us an updated addendum to his previous estimate in email form. He's now indicating that it would be, what, at least $55,000 to take off the tile and then put like a three-tab presidential roof on here, which is now okay in the subdivision. But of course, if we decided to go tile again, you know, if we had the money to do that, it would be more like, you know, $100,000 just to replace the roof. The roof does need to be replaced. It's the original roof from 1989. So obviously the roof is 34 years old. When we got the house, you know, they're talking about a 50-year roof. That tile roofs don't last that long, plus especially in this climate. Moving on to the next issue would be the eaves siding. You could see that it was a Superior Systems had given us an estimate on that. You have to look, like, I think it was on page three or page four that it indicated all the add-ons and everything. The original bid that they had, I think there, you know, didn't indicate the front of the house. I don't know why he did that separate, but when you add it all together with all the add-ons that we'd need to get all the eaves off of the house and to get hardy plank and to get it painted and everything, it was like $172,000. But then of course, you know, that was a few years ago, and because of inflation, the cost of labor and materials and everything would be now closer to $200,000 to $225,000 to get the eaves taken off and hardy plank all the way around and painted. So that's quite a bill. Also, we had Renew Creations come out here and take a look at the condition of the home and the inside, and they gave an itemized list of everything they thought that needed to be done. It seems high, but it is what it is. Remodeling the interior of a home and getting it up to standards of today's homes, they estimated at that time that it would be $496,000. So you're looking at $500,000 for the interior. And, of course, that was a few years ago. And then to, you know, with the cost of labor and materials now, it would be significantly higher than that. So if we add all that together, the value of the home is not what the assessor's office believes it to be. It'd be great if it was a new home and everything was brand new, then yeah, it could be worth that kind of money, but not in the state of repair that the home is in and everything that it needs. So there's no way that we believe that it would price out at that because of the condition of the home and everything that it needs. I believe that's everything that I needed to go over. You've got all the documents. Please take a look at those carefully, and you can see what we're talking about. It'd be great to have the money and throw another at least $1 million into this thing to get it where it needs to be, and then, yeah, then it could be worth it. But that's what happens with houses, especially when the materials like tile roofing, which don't work in this area, and also the eaves obviously don't work in this area. It's too bad that that was done at the time, but I don't think hardy plank was even available back 34 years ago. In any case, that's what we did back then, and those are all the things that would need to be done now to get it up to steam where the house should be, and then you could actually probably get a proper assessment. So with that in mind, I appreciate your consideration and get it down closer to the value that we believe that it is. And with that, I'll conclude.
Okay. A couple of questions. One is the market analysis that was done. I assume that I didn't catch it, whether it was or not, but that's an as-is condition that she valued that on.
Yes, sir. It is in the condition that it is now. Yes.
Okay. And the second thing is the EVIS siding, is it failing now? I mean, do you have problems with it, leakage and dry rot underneath or anything?
Yes, sir. We've actually had, it's just embarrassing. You know, it's constantly failing. Every time I try to do an inspection once or twice a year, it's constantly failing. It constantly cracks, you know, with settling and everything. And then, there were repairs we had to do to the south wall and have it all taken off and redone. And that was early on. And it's just a constant problem. And, going through a lot of Vulcan caulk and just all kinds of things, and yeah, there's problems underneath. If it's taken off, the guy that came out here and did it, he used, I don't know, I'm not technical. You folks probably know a lot more about this than I do. He had a moisture meter or something. He was pointing out a lot of different areas where it's going to be a lot worse probably than what you think here and there. And then there's going to be a lot of add-ons that, yeah, once they take it off, and they find all this, and there's going to be all these add-ons. So it's a constant failure. It needs to be done. And so if we had the money to throw another, you know, at least $200,000, probably $250,000 to do that, it really needs to be done. So it's really hard to see how bad it's going to be once you get into it. I hope that answers your question, but it is a constant thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't either.
No, I think I have enough information.
Okay. I really appreciate your time. You guys have a great day.
Yep. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 768 for property ID 921-50000. The property is owned by Nadezhda Mironenko and Yuri Mironenko, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Nadia Mironenko present over video chat for the appellant. We don't have your video feed, that's all right, but do still go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I'll do my best. English is my second language, but I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you.
So this house was built in 62. The add-on was put in 72. Ever since we purchased it, there has been no upgrades or any remodels. As of right now, the roof is still in the old condition and it has leaks, as you probably saw in the appraisal. So we do our best to patch it up. As far as the siding of the roof of the house is very old, and so the covering of the siding, it bubbles up and then it bursts and then starts peeling, especially during the cold rainy season. It starts bubbling, and then during the summer when it's dry, it gets cracky. As far as the portion, the new portion of the house does not have any air conditioning or any heating whatsoever. So in the appraisal pictures and some of the pictures that we submitted, you can see that during the winter, the tenants, they have portable heaters. And then for air conditioning, they have portable units for the summer. The other side of the house has the old model of the heat pump that does air conditioning. As far as the other things that are on the property, there's some cracks in the foundation and other things that you guys have seen in the report. And then, like I mentioned, there's no remodels as far as kitchens or bathrooms or anything like that. So pretty much the house is in the original state since it was built. We do basic maintenance and upkeep, but as far as anything new or modern, it's kind of still in their 60s and 70s. You guys have any questions or anything else that you might need for me to explain or elaborate?
This house is rented out to others, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
I don't have any questions at this time.
Yeah, nor do I.
I have no questions. Okay.
Alrighty, I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Sounds good. Thank you. Have a nice
day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 758 for property ID 171065000. The property is owned by Janice B. Pelkey. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will quickly do a reading of the evidence we received. The dominant piece of evidence is she submitted five comparable sales, parcel 170857000, sold for $160,000 in March 21, parcel 174173000, sold for $335,000 in March 21, parcel 137114000, sold for $313,000 in April of 21, parcel 171284000, sold for $133,824 in December of 21, and parcel 1396520000 sold for $240,000 in December of 2020. And that is the main piece, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
All right. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 697 for property ID 109592000. The property is owned by Terry M. Taylor. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office and no one present at the appellant, so I will do a brief read-in of the evidence. The dominant evidence submitted by the appellant is three comparable sales. Parcel 181494900 sold for $850,000 in July 21. Parcel 198841010 sold for $810,000 in December of 21. And parcel 168217000 sold for $699,000 in December of 21. This case did also have assessor evidence, which included details about the subject property, a 2022 property information card, a map of the subject and surrounding area, sales lists and graphs, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. And that's basically it. So I will go ahead and hand it to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 1st, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 761 for property ID 215-444-016. The property is owned by United Natural Foods Incorporated. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There was no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, and there was not anything submitted for the petition. The basic needs were met for the requirements. So I will go ahead and hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available, which tends to be nothing of substance. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.